The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about my ideal Hollywood studios and Animal Kingdom days. That's coming up on this episode 101 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 101. I appreciate it. I am excited to talk about my ideal Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom days, which you all knew was coming because I already talked about my ideal Magic Kingdom and Epcot days and you all seem to love this series. So we're going to finish it out. We did get interrupted in the series by the 100th episode, which was last week. I've gotten lots of great feedback. People seem to love the concept, and I really enjoyed it as well. Those kind of episodes take a lot more time to put together and planning, so I can't do them all the time, but I do hope to be able to repeat that at some point because that was great for me and apparently for you all. As I said in that episode, my favorite tip happened to be the one relating to getting bonus fast passes at the kiosks. And just this week, somebody left a message, Lori. Hey, Lori, I think you might still be at Disney World. I'm not sure. But she said this on the Facebook page. She said, I used a tip from your 100th podcast today. When we got our fourth and fifth fast passes at the kiosks, we just took whatever came up first and then we modified them in the app. Everyone needs to do this. Those lines would move so much better. And I totally agree. And it's something I'm definitely going to do. It never even occurred to me to try that, but it's a great one. So that tip and many others from that episode were very helpful. So I'm glad you guys really liked that episode. I normally remind you here to follow me on social media, but I'm going to skip that part. Just find me at WDW Prep School if you're on social media. I want to spend a couple minutes talking about today because I just feel so like my heart is so full after today because I went to a podcasting conference called Podcast Movement, and I don't normally go to conferences. I get kind of anxious about being a person going to a conference by myself, not knowing anybody. I feel kind of awkward about it. But this one was being held in Fort Worth, and I live just north of Fort Worth. And so I thought, okay, it's 15 minutes away, and it has so many of my favorite podcasters. It's a great opportunity. So today, I'm recording this on Saturday evening. I spent all day just in different sessions, and it was just so fulfilling to hear from other podcasters about their passion. So it was a combination of sort of like passion things and also tactical things that we could apply to our own podcast. And so the sessions included my favorite business podcaster, who happens to be Pat Flynn. He was the opening keynote and probably the best speaker of the day, but he always knocks it out of the park. And on the way out of the conference today, I happened to walk by him and had a chance to tell him that my goal is to one day be a guest on his show because I love it so much. He is my an idol. I just adore him. But some other names you might be familiar with, Lee Cockrell, who is a former senior manager within Disney, had a session on creating Disney magic, and his son is now in senior management at Disney. And I asked him if he was excited for his son in his new position, and he said yes. He is thrilled, but at first he is spending some time in Japan on a family vacation. So that was Lee. And then the final two sessions of the day were Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio, who was one of the closing keynotes. He had the biggest room, biggest stage, and he talked all about, his journey from being a lawyer in Jersey to moving to Orlando and starting the WDW Radio podcast. And, you know, he's a very upbeat positive person, but he did talk a little bit about haters. And I thought it was really funny. He said, you know, you would think it's Disney World. How are there haters? He goes, but there are. And they like to talk about me on Twitter. And I couldn't have been nodding my head in agreement anymore, because it has been truly the biggest shock of anything that has in starting this website and podcast and everything, that the haters in the Disney World niche are so intense, and it's a theme park. I just don't get it. And so Lou is not immune to that. None of us are, I guess. But it was nice to see him. And I got to chat with him briefly before his speech. So that was good. And then finishing out the day was Aisha Tyler, who was fantastic. And she's so, I love Aisha Tyler because she's so funny and so smart, and she's so beautiful. And she was a great person to finish the day with. And my husband and I were talking, if you combine Lou Mangello and Aisha Tyler, you kind of get me. And my husband said, you're the only person who could possibly be a combination of Lou and Aisha. But I definitely feel like that, except for not the 6 foot tall supermodel look that she was pulling off, but just her personality. She's kind of geeky, and she's kind of a workaholic, and just love that about her. But anyway, one thing that Aisha Tyler does, and it's my favorite part of her podcast, is at the end of every year, she takes any questions that are, like, she normally interviews guests as her podcast subject, but at the end of every year, she takes questions about her or, you know, more personal things. And she does one episode at the end of the year, and it's a really, really good one. It's my favorite episode that she does. And so I thought that would be a great thing for me to adapt as well, because people have been telling me, hey, you should have somebody interview you on your own podcast, or, you know, on your website or whatever, and answer some questions that we can ask sort of behind the scenes. And so instead, I think I'm going to take a cue from Aisha Tyler, and I'll do one at the end of the year. And so if you happen to want to ask questions about anything you want, like, it doesn't, you know, anything that's sort of not specifically about visiting Disney World, about starting a website, about, you know, business, about me, about, you know, starting a podcast, whatever your question is that's not Disney World specific, I will collect those and put together an episode if there's enough interest. If nobody submits questions, then I will just skip that idea. But you can use the SpeakPipe information, the same method that we used to collect the tips from last week, we can use again for this. And so if you call those in, I will collect them and answer them all towards the end of the year. It's kind of a final episode for 2015. So anyway, good day. And tomorrow I'm headed back. As you're listening to this, I am at the conference, most likely. They have for the next day, it's Mark Maron and Sarah Koenig from the Serial podcast. And so I'm just very excited. I am just such a fan of podcasting that I am sort of geeking out about all this. But anyway, good day, good day. So I want to talk today about ideal days at Hollywood Studios Animal Kingdom. I am combining them into one episode because for many people, these are half-day parks, and so I can get through them a little bit more quickly than I can the other parks. I do, of course, have to point out that Hollywood Studios is in the process of changing a lot, and I expect we will know more details in about 2 weeks. During D23, I think they will announce it, and I will be there. I'm hoping to Periscope from D23 so that you guys can watch along with me. I have just never had great luck in the Disneyland Anaheim area with great reception to allow that. But if I can, I will. But anyway, Hollywood Studios is changing a lot. So I'm going to talk about it first, and I'm going to be a little bit more general than I am with the other parks because I don't know which attractions are going to last. So let's first talk about the start of the day, of course, and that is to always be there 30 to 40 minutes early. And this is true for every park. I have said this in the previous episodes. It's true here, which usually means being at the bus stop an hour before the park opens. But one thing to note is that Hollywood Studios used to open early. So it was very possible, like a year ago or something like that, that you could show up to Hollywood Studios and get in as early as 30 minutes before the posted opening time, and they would allow you to ride Toy Story Mania. That is no longer true, but I still recommend that you get there early. One of the reasons is that because of all the closures of Hollywood studios, there are fewer attractions to accommodate the people that are arriving. So you have to arrive early to try to get in and get on those attractions before they run out of, or before the lines run up and you end up waiting for too long. So always be early to the parks, but that's why it's particularly important at Hollywood Studios. So the way I like to start my day is by being at the front of the entrance lines and going right to Toy Story Mania. After that, I like to go to Rock and Roller Coaster, which is a little ways away. And then right next door is Tower of Terror. Now you'll notice so far I have not mentioned Fast Passes. During busier times of year, I do recommend that you use Fast Passes for some of these attractions like Tower of Terror and Star Tours. So that way, because lines do build up more quickly during busier times of the year. However, I have done this entire touring plan without a Fast Pass, no Fast Passes at all. So it'll just depend on when you're going. Toy Story Mania and Rock and Roller Coaster, you can probably do without much of a wait if you do them first. You may need a Fast Pass for Tower of Terror as your third one, and maybe for Star Tours. I don't know. A lot of times they do not have a wait on either of them within the first hour and a half, but it'll just depend. So far I've said four things: Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, Star Tours. And by the way, this is all over the park. This is going to take some walking, but it will allow you to avoid lines. And then fifth priority is Great Movie Ride. After that, everything is open, in my opinion. And that includes a lot of shows. So I went back and listened to my very first podcast episode because it was about how to fit all the shows into your Hollywood Studios day, because it's a puzzle to try to organize your day around all the show times. And first of all, podcast episode one is basically the same structure as the podcast now, but whoa, I was so stiff. I sounded like I was medicated or something. I don't know, just completely zombie. I feel so much more comfortable now just being able to be myself. But it also has some outdated references, so I don't necessarily suggest you go back and listen to it because some things have changed since then. But it was such a it's such a common issue that I made it my very first podcast. So after you ride these first, like say five rides, and you're trying to plan the rest of your day, you do need to figure out the puzzle. And my suggestion is that you use WDWENT.com. That's WDW as in Walt Disney World, ENT as in entertainment.com, because the times for the shows are posted there about a week beforehand. If you want to go there now and look, the times often don't change that much, so you could use as a reference, but just double check right before your trip to see the times. And then use that to put together your show times. Lights, Motors, Action is a particularly difficult one because it's often just twice a day. So if you want to see that one, make sure you plan around that. But one way that you can sort of help to fit them all in is to recognize that you can take food into the outdoor shows so you can multitask. So for instance, Beauty and the Beast is a show whose first performance is usually around 11:45, lunchtime. And so if you want to multitask, you can grab some food across the street from the theater and take it into the Beauty and the Beast theater. You can also take food into Lights, Motors, Action, Indiana Jones, and Fantasmic, and because they're all held outdoors. So that's one way to sort of do it. But bottom line is you're going to have to identify the shows you want to see, fit them together like a puzzle, and plan the rest of your day. So that is sort of my Hollywood Studios advice. I do have an entire article on tips and tricks for Fantasmic that I will link in the show notes so that you have that. But if you have any more questions about Hollywood Studios and how to plan your time there, let me know. I have heard that Hollywood Studios, you know, so far they have closed American Idol and they've closed Backlot Tour. And I have heard a rumor that they also closed Magic of Animation, that building. I also have heard that by the end of September, One Man's Dream and Voyage of the Little Mermaid will be closing. So that'll be pretty devastating to a lot of people if that happens. But they are located in the Pixar area, so it definitely makes it seem like there will be a Pixar expansion, which will be great after it's complete. But between now and then, it's going to be a little rough to have so many attractions gone from Hollywood Studios. But We should know more soon. All right, so let's talk about Animal Kingdom. This park isn't changing quite as quickly as Hollywood Studios. It is going to be going through some changes in the next couple of years with a new nighttime show coming next year. And then in 2017, Avatar Land will open. But between now and then, this is the advice that I would suggest, or it's what works for me. And I'm going to give you two different options for Animal Kingdom, depending on your goal. So my goal is always the lowest wait times. And so that's the first scenario I'm going to take you through. So same advice for arrival, to arrive about 30 to 40 minutes early. And then I like to head to the Dinoland section of the park, which is at the front right kind of corner, and go on Dinosaur and Primeval World right off the bat. And when you do that at the beginning of the day, there's no wait. It's very easy to do. And then you can go to Expedition Everest, most likely with a fast pass that you have reserved ahead of time. If you're like me and you happen to love Expedition Everest, you could rewrite it in the single rider line if the single rider line is open and the ages of your group allow you to do that. This is how I usually make sure I get to at least ride it twice because I love it so much. And then as you're working your way around the park from there, you could go on Kelly River Rapids, which a lot of people skip because you get soaked on it. But ultimately, then you want to make your way over to Kilimanjaro Safari, which I recommend that you have a fast pass for. So this path that I've sort of just described for Animal Kingdom basically takes you from the right front corner all the way to the back where Kilimanjaro Safari is. And then after that, I recommend that you see the Festival of the Lion King show, which is right near Kilimanjaro Safari. I do like using a fast pass for Festival of the Lion King because the people with fast passes get into the theater sooner, and the front seats, the front couple of rows of each section of the theater, are great viewing spots for Festival of the Lion King. And I will talk about the other show and fast pass in just a minute, because I don't necessarily recommend it there. After that, then I recommend having lunch. There are several great quick service restaurants within the park to choose from. And then after that, I suggest that you fit in the remaining attractions, including the Finding Nemo show. Finding Nemo show does have a fast pass option, but the reason I don't recommend it there for most people is that the seats at the back are actually the best view, in my opinion. Center top is sort of my favorite. And most people who have fast passes sit up front, or people that arrive early in the standby line, they sit up front, and that's not necessarily an advantage. So you could easily skip the fast pass and just go to the show in the standby line. Now, the schedule that I just described to you is for the lowest wait times, and that's my priority. However, if the animals are our priority, then you will probably want to do things in a different order because the morning is often a great time to see the animals. And so that would have you starting at Kilimanjaro Safari first and perhaps doing some of the animal trails like the Maharaja Jungle Trek and things like that earlier in the day, and then fast passing rides for a little bit later, like late morning, early afternoon. So you might have a fast pass for Expedition Everest or Dinosaur so that you can start in the back by Kilimanjaro Safari and then work your way around back to the front of the park. And so that'll help you keep a focus on the animals and maximize the activity that you're likely to see because the morning is not so hot. I, in October, did the Wild Africa Trek, which is a special tour that you can do at Animal Kingdom. And we actually did it before the park opened. And so the amount of animals that we saw, I used to think this was a little bit of a myth. I thought, yeah, the animals are out all the time. It doesn't really matter. But we saw so many animals being out early. And I feel a little bit spoiled now because that was a fantastic tour. And I don't know that there are too many things at Disney World that I have loved more than that. And so I definitely know that if animal activity and seeing the most is a priority, that it's different than making sure you have the least wait time. So there's your option. Wait times begin at Dinoland, in my opinion, and maximizing animals means you start at Kilimanjaro Safari. So, you know, I mentioned at the beginning that these are often half-day parks. And so sometimes people say to me, can I combine these into one day? And if you have a shorter trip, I definitely suggest that you could do it if you want to do them both in the same day. And most people will probably want to start at Animal Kingdom and end at Hollywood Studios because Animal Kingdom does close a lot earlier and doesn't have a night show. And so that's one way to do it. I sort of like the reverse in a way, or maybe you could bounce back and forth a couple of times. And the reason is that I find that you can do Hollywood Studios, you know, the four or five main attractions there within the first hour or 90 minutes. Without a fast pass. So you could make your fast passes at Animal Kingdom for after you leave Hollywood Studios. But you could certainly do it. There's pros and cons to, you know, that each of those orders. But in my touring plans for both of these parks, I have a suggestion for combining them. And I will link to that in the show notes so that you can sort of get a feel for what that would look like. Anyway, so I hope that that has been helpful for both of the parks. And now I'm getting excited to go back. It's been a few months and I'm sort of really want to get back and do it all over again. And we need to talk about some news because there definitely was some this week. First of all, Garden Grill used to only serve dinner. That's what in recent history, it has just been a dinner restaurant. It's at Epcot in the same building as Soarin', but just this week they have opened up breakfast and lunch at Garden Grill. And that is for trip dates beginning on November 8th and later, but you can make the reservations now. And so breakfast, lunch, and dinner all have characters, including Chip and Dale. And the restaurant rotates slowly, you know, like one rotation per meal. And it's served family style. And one thing I really like about this is that it gives you a pre-park opening option that has nothing to do with princesses. So previously, if you want to get into Epcot early before it opens, you would have to eat at Akershus, which is a princess meal in Norway. But now you've got this option, which isn't princessy at all. And it's a great value on the Disney Dining Plan. It's one of the best values, as is the Akershus, by the way. So I just love that Garden Grill is an option now for all three meals, and I'm very excited about this addition. Secondly, we just talked about Primeval World when we were talking about Animal Kingdom, but it is going to be closed from August 17th through November 12th. Incidentally, Primeval World has a 48-inch height requirement, so if you're planning to go, your little ones will likely not be eligible to ride that one. That's a common thing that we run into is it looks like a fun ride that young ones can ride, but most of them aren't 48 inches tall, so just a heads up. And then finally, we have a modification to the credit limit at the resorts. So when you check into Disney World Resorts, you have a credit card on file, and they don't charge that until right before you check out unless you hit a limit. And they just raised the limits for the resorts. So here's what they are now. If you're at a value or a moderate resort, the credit limit has been increased to $1,500. And for deluxe resorts, the credit limit is $2,000. So those are pretty high numbers. And, you know, a lot of people may not hit those. But that's great news because a lot of people were getting surprised with a mid-trip charge and maybe didn't like that because they were hoping to pay with Disney gift cards. And so if you want to pay with Disney gift cards, you just need to go the day before checkout and say, please use these Disney gift cards and instead of the credit card that you have on file for me. And you just need to make sure you do that before you hit this limit or the day before checkout, whichever comes first. So I think that is it for news. I do have a quick tip before I wrap up, as usual. My quick tip is that you can use Facebook as a research tool before your trip. And the way that you can do that is to search any attraction, restaurant, resort, anything at Disney World that you want to know more about. You can search it on Facebook, and there will often be a page with reviews of that thing. So, anything that people can check into, you know, if you may have had friends that went to Disney World and they checked into their hotel, they checked into an attraction or restaurant, anything that you can check into will also have a page, you know, sort of associated with it. And many of those will have reviews that you can go and read and you can see what people have said. Now, some are going to have more information than others, but you can get recent, you know, thoughts about the food at a restaurant or, you know, thoughts about how an attraction was, that kind of thing. And so it can just be a great research tool Just add that to your toolbox for ways to research Disney World trips. So I think that will wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can look in your podcast app or you can go to wdwprepschool.com/episode101. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.